This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Welcome, everybody, to Center for Conscious Kids and Conscious Living podcast. We're podcasting here. I'm Ashley Lee, and I'm podcasting live from San Diego. And live with me here on Facebook Messenger and our iPad is my close friend and amazing entrepreneur on so many levels, and really supports our environment and our love for the earth and the world. Her name is Leslie Foster, and she's here representing Kokua Worms. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you for inviting me to do this.
We're so glad you're here. Please share with us a little bit about Kokua Worms and what that means.
Okay. First of all, Kokua in Hawaii means to help. And the worms help us with enriching our soil and recycling food scraps. So I found worms when I opened a daycare and couldn't stand the thought of throwing all the food scraps from the kids' meals into the trash. So I got into worms, and when I closed the daycare, I needed something environmental to do, and I took over part of a established business who had Waikiki Worm Company had been in business since 2004, and she was wanting to move on to larger, more comprehensive projects. So I started the residential and retail part of her business and decided to name it Kokua Worms.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
So tell me a little bit about the different types of worms that you have.
Okay, so yeah, worming is kind of confusing to new people. You know,
sure.
When we think of a worm, we think of a worm as a worm as a worm. But there are differences. And the two primary worms that are most beneficial to us are the composters, which are the worms who eat up our food scraps, and they survive very well in contained environments. They are surface eaters. They will eat decomposing material and be found out in wildlife under like manure piles. Earthworms are the ones that we're a little more used to, the guys that are in our backyard that we accidentally dig up when we're digging around. They're important to our yard because they're going to till the soil. They're going to aerate and keep our soil loose so that our roots are able to absorb air, water, nutrients, etc. So basically, that's the difference between the two worms, and I do carry both.
I see. So when someone is wanting to learn how to compost, when they call you, what do you share with them in a way to help them get started? What does all that mean?
Well, I always start off with kind of a three basic question to I have a three-part equation, which gets my questioning started. I ask people, how many people in the household? If they tell me the number of people in the house and if they have any practices like juicing or if they have vegetable gardens or something, I can get a feel for about what they're going to produce in regards to food scraps. Then I ask them if they already have a container. Quite often people are DIY, like I, and they'll get a container that they've had laying around and drill some holes in it. Or they are a little more enthusiastic and committed, like I was when I started, and they might buy a stacking tray system. So based on those two parts of the equation, I try to match the colony size of the worms that'll be best for their needs.
And when they start to do that, how do they take care of the worms? Like, what does that literally mean? They go in
to where
you are and they pick up some worms and they bring it home. What do they do with them?
So part of what I do is a lot of education and support. So that three-part equation is just the first step. It's just what gets us our journey going. I walk through them with them through all the instructions on setup and maintenance, and then even into harvesting, even though that's not going to be for about, you know, at least 4 to 5 months, preferably about 6 months from the time they start. I do review that just so that they get a little familiarity with it. It's a very simple process to start up a worm bin and to maintain. It's a matter of shredded, moist carbon material, shredded paper, coconut fiber, etc. Getting your worm settled into that, add some food, put some moist shredded paper over the top, and you're good to go. On the mainland, they tend to do more sheets of cardboard or paper, which I guess must work there. I've never done composting on the mainland. But in Hawaii, I like an environment that is going to allow for airflow and drainage because of our conditions here. You know, the humidity, the heat, we like to give extra water. I want to have airflow so that you don't have a mold issue. So really basic setup, though it's a little confusing when you've just started. It's a new world. And then I explain to them the maintenance, the regular feeding, what types of food to give them, how to prepare the food, which is not a big deal. It's chopping it up and putting it aside for a few days to let it sit. And it doesn't matter if it's the refrigerator, the freezer, or the countertop. Any of those work. And then keeping it moist, dryness, especially here in Hawaii with the heat. Dryness can really hamper the activity of the worms. They'll just hunker down and get into some moist spots in their bedding, and they won't bother with the food so much if it's dry environment or if they're exposed to light because there is no top layer of shredded paper. We do water here in Hawaii. I believe it sounds like a lot of places on the mainland, they don't. That's what people will find all over the internet is don't water. Yes, there is liquid involved in decomposing of food, but fresh water is optimal for our worms from keeping their system drying out. And as long as it can drain through nicely and doesn't get clogged in, then the worms are happy campers. There's a few other things that are part of the regular maintenance. And then one of the biggest things of regular maintenance, besides regular feeding and watering, is harvesting the poop. And that's our black gold. That's the gardener's favorite.
Okay, so harvesting from the composted materials, so all of your food waste, and then and then some of those other articles where you talked about newspaper or cardboard to keep them covered. Then you, after a while, 4 or 5 months, then you harvest the poop or the what? Doesn't it look like soil almost?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's black, rich vermicast. Okay. That's the proper technical term. Vermi is worm, cast is poop. So it's the worm poop. It looks and smells like deep, dark, almost black, rich soil.
Okay.
Basically, your good soils anywhere on the planet are decomposing matter that has been broken down and turned back into soil. Composting worms are just such champions of this and really produce such a usable soil after they're after they've processed everything down completely. So getting the poop out. Yep.
Oh, so I was going to ask you, so when you harvest the vermicast for yourself, mm-hmm. then you recycle that usually to your own garden and your own plants around the house.
Right. A lot of people get into vermicomposting because they want to create their own fertilizers for their garden. Personally, I got into it for recycling purposes, but it's definitely a great way to do both, recycle the food scraps and to create that fertilizer. It's so rich and concentrated that it's part of a more complex potting soil. But if you went from bare bones basics, you would have vermicast, which would be the food, nutrients, and live organisms for your plants. You would have topsoil, which would dilute the intensity of the cast, and you would have some mulch in there. Mulch or green waste would provide food for the organisms that are in that cast, keep it moist, and add some structure. So that's kind of a bare bones, no frills potting soil. But you definitely would usually want to add a few more things, more structure, into a really quality potting soil. But vermicast is a huge, huge addition to a good, healthy, live potting soil. That's one of the things that I am curious about in regards to seeing potting soil in bags on the market shelf, is how alive is it? You know, when was it bagged up? Is it airtight? I weigh out my cast for my customers when they get there, and I make sure that there's air in the container. If I'm closing up the container or the bag, I make sure there's air in there or there's holes poked in it, because I want those live organisms to be able to breathe. The cast is aerobic. Worms are aerobic, which is different from things like bokashi, which is kind of the same idea, taking your food scraps and stuff and breaking it down to usable material to nourish your soil. But bokashi is an anaerobic process, where worms are aerobic process.
I see. Wow.
Lots of information, huh?
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. So what kind of nutrients do you see in the vermicast? I mean, are you seeing increased minerals, increased selenium, zinc, and many of the things we're missing from some of our soils?
Yeah. So you're going there, aren't you, Ashley? So I'm not as versed, you know. Raise my hand.
That's okay.
Didn't get a formal education on composting and soil structure. So I am not familiar with the exact breakdown.
Yeah.
One of the things that is a factor is what they're fed, obviously.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, the worms actually like a balanced diet. So one of the things that I caution to my customers, especially here in Hawaii, is, you know, you got your mango tree out back. Don't go and throw all of your mangoes in there during season, because they're all spoiling on the ground. That's going to be too acidic. You can put starches in there, but limited amounts. You know, you don't want to put a whole pot of rice or a whole loaf of bread that's gone bad, because that's going to break down badly. And the worms like balance. Just like it's good for us, it's good for them too. So The more balanced diet, the more complete their cast is going to be in regards to the nutrients for the plants. So
yeah.
I don't have the full-on breakdown, but it's going to be variable depending on the input.
Well, that's great understanding, and I think it'd be neat, right? Even going live here on Facebook and there would be maybe hopefully other people that really see that or know what those constituents are, because that would be interesting to see what's on a tropical island and then what's on in different places on the mainland or in Canada or in Mexico or other countries. What they're fed and what nutrients they are, because that's, but I have a feeling though, when you're taking local foods from that area and the worms are doing very well, I would imagine, you know, just from understanding those sorts of relationships, that you would be able to repopulate those nutrients that are needed. So as you're doing that, what do you see when you're growing your papaya trees or your avocado or other fruit or vegetables? What do you see from the vermicast now that you've been doing it for a long time?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's pretty funny because when I got into it, you know, I got into it for the recycling purposes. I wasn't doing the gardening part of it. I've always considered myself a black thumb. And part of the biggest problem is I don't turn on the faucet to water my plants, which even with cast and worms, you still need that. But I have been using it on, you know, ever since buying the business, I've been using the product. You know, before when I had the daycare, I kind of just made almost all the mistakes out there and just did it for recycling. But it's awesome now that I'm using the product. You know, I was never able to make orchids grow and flower again. And I'm seeing new leaves and actually getting new buds and stuff. And it's like, wow, I can't believe I did that. Yeah. It cracks me up when friends say, you know, their reflections on their plants after giving them compost tea, which is actually taking the cast and aerating it and giving those microbes in the cast food, water, and air. And it's like an espresso level of goodness from the cast. And, you know, the comments that people say, it's like, you should see my flowers. You should see the hibiscus. And it's pretty funny. But just using cast and the leachate, the liquid that comes off of my living and working bin, nice, healthy, vibrant banana trees. The papayas are growing strong. I add, I don't add the leachate, but I do add the compost tea into my aquaponics bed. And I can see, you know, even with the fish waste and stuff, giving nutrients to the plants, when I add some tea in, I just see this abundance of new growth and vibrant greens. Yeah, it's very cool.
Well, I have another question from seeing from your clients and other people too. And I think you don't use any of this in your house, but do people report that they use less fungicides or herbicides or insecticides from using that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, thank you for bringing that up. Using cast in your soil is going to be your fertilizer. And I remind my customers, too much and too often, it's a fertilizer. Remember that. But so, you know, they're creating their own fertilizer. They're enriching the soil with all this life and these nutrients. So they're actually cutting down the need to water, especially if they've got some mulch or green waste on the ground around their plants. It definitely reduces watering. And then the pests, you know, your plants are healthier. They're stronger. So they're not succumbing to these funguses and pests and so forth. And one of the things that is very popular with the compost tea is to use it as a foliar spray to help combat pests. It's not going to kill them. What it's going to do is put other enzymes on the leaves, which deter these pests. And the plant's absorbing goodness. It's absorbing nutrients and you know.
So the plant itself has more an internal strength.
Yes, vibrancy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's stronger to fight off these problems.
Yes, because in Hawaii we do have issues with the hibiscus, especially with the white fly and other diseases. And I just wondered whether you were seeing people's plants and shrubs and all of that just growing to that new level without having as much infestation.
Yes, definitely a plant that is cared for and given nutrients, you know, frequently enough or to its needs are going to be stronger. And the fact that this food and nutrients is nature's way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's creating the natural process in a container that we can pull from.
Right.
You know, that's one of the things I love. You know, green waste or hot composting in your backyard is also doing the same thing. It's breaking down, you know, biomatter to create soil again.
Right.
But it's going to be chunkier. It's going to be more humid. I'm sorry, forgetting that word. But the vermicast breaks down softer materials so that it's much more bioavailable to the plants and so many more minerals and nutrients because we're giving them such a variety of ingredients versus just the greens and stuff. And a kind of nice thing is, you know, yes, you can put food out in your hot pile, but then, you know, are you going to be attracting other little visitors that are unwanted?
Yeah.
Much easier to manage in a worm bin. And then you get the wonderful leachate, which is liquid leaching out of that bin, which can be used on basically anything. The only warning I have on the leachate is that it's got your live bacteria and stuff that are part of the decomposition of food. So my low-growing vegetables and herbs and stuff, I'll put it at least about 2 feet or so away from the plant so that I don't have harmful bacteria right up against something that's going to be consumed soon. It's going and feeding the soil, but not getting on the edible parts.
I see. Wow.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. And then are you also growing the earthworms as well?
I do. As my few fishing clients like to broadcast, there's only one place in Hawaii to fish with live worms. I'm kind of thankful for that because I hate to see them go that way, but I can't tell people what to do with them once they get them. But I am the only person on the island who actually carries earthworms, and they're not easy to come by. We do have a property that we utilize to gather them, but they're not always available. So they're, you know, they cost a little bit, but
and do you
when you're putting
them to help till some of the soils? Do you have them put in new areas where you might want to produce grass or other foliages or plants that soil needs enriching with?
Well, those work in garden pots or potted plants.
Okay.
Gardens, yards, anywhere. Excuse me. Basically anywhere. I keep them out of the composting bin because that's not the optimal environment for them. I put them where they're going to till the soil, as you said. They're not adding a lot of nutrients to the soil. They are adding a little bit of their own, and they're part of an healthy ecosystem, which is keeping your plants happy. But their primary benefit to plants is keeping that soil tilled.
I see. That's really awesome. Well, would you have a moment to share with us on the video what that looks like? Like what the creating the vermicast and the worm containers, what that looks like?
Okay. So I'm going to just briefly take you out to my bin here at home because it is windy out there and it's going to be a little difficult to hear on the video, audio.
Okay.
But I'll show a live system and then I'm going to show the product that I carry and the worms.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Let me get this sorted out here. Okay, hold on. Let me just... Okay. One out. Oh, this is my bin. I have it I have everything covered up with moist shredded paper. I've got food and worms in there and some other beetles and stuff, some other bugs. And sadly, this is not a smell-o-vision because it's amazing when you see the worms and the food and you don't smell anything. Can you see them?
Yes.
Yeah. So they don't really like to be poked around at, so I don't like to dig around in them too much. So I'm going to just leave them be there. Okay. And luckily we don't have too much wind right now hampering us. So I'm going to now show you the most popular product that I carry is just a basic 10-gallon worm bin. This is a really nice size container for like a family of two that who cooks at home a fair amount, or like a family of three, which with a you know small children or something. So, not sure why my there we go. Okay, so this is a 10-gallon Rubbermaid container. I've drilled holes in the bottom for drainage. I don't drill holes along the top edge, but you can if you need extra aeration. You would just want to do it right along the top edge, not any further down into the bin, because you don't want food and air to meet. Here's the lid with the holes drilled there.
Wow.
Lots of holes for good aeration. And one of the things that I really love putting in my container is coconut fiber. This is an awesome source of carbon for the worms. It retains moisture and keeps broken up. They love it. It's pH balance. It's a really nice part of the bedding layer for them. And this is how it's packaged. This bin is that block, rehydrated. I don't know if you can see it from the side, but a nice amount of coir in there. So let me introduce you to the worms. So the way I sell my worms is by worm weight, because they're pricey, and I want to make sure that my customers are getting what they're paying for. Just do them just above this, just in case they fall out of my hands. This is a 4-ounce worm ball. How's that?
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the way I sell all of my worms, is without cast. So I know